message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
It's good to be on the air again today and to have you join us for another time of studying the Word of God. It's a real privilege for us to come into your home and to share with you God's Word and to have the opportunity to try to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, by the study of the written Word of God. And we've been studying some time together here on our Bible study together week after week right here. I hope you join us week after week and you make this a regular time in your schedule. We get mail from people watching our program and they say, "Boy, we tuned in for the very first time." And they write us and that encourages us. We get mail from people who've been listening week after week after week regularly and studying with us. This is a Bible study program. It's a program designed to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God, because God's Word is the source of life, spiritual life for the believer. As you believe God's Word, Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The way God the Holy Spirit works today in the dispensation of grace is through His Word. The preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, the taking in and the assimilating of the Word of God into your soul as you by faith take it in and store it up in your understanding. God the Holy Spirit works through His Word. "The words that I speak unto you," Jesus said, "they are spirit and they are life." That's where God's life operates. Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, gave His life for you so that when you trust Him as your Savior, He could give His life to you. And the way you trust Him is you hear the word of the gospel and you believe it. You trust what God says in His Word, and God gives His life to you so that then He can live His life through you on a daily basis as you walk by faith in what His Word says. And the whole of the Christian life is simply the response of faith in what God says in His Word about what He has accomplished for us at Calvary. Nowhere is that exalted, nowhere is that explained more than in Romans chapter number 3, a passage we've been studying now for some time. And I want to look back there in our study together at Romans chapter 3, verse 21, and especially something in verse 22 that is a tremendously important issue for you and me. If we're going to understand God's grace, we need to understand how grace works and the kind of attitude that you have to have on our side to be appreciative of God's grace that's given to us, this free gift that God delights in giving to us. What is the response that we should have to it? Well, Romans 3, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference." You'll notice the righteousness of God is now revealed. "But now the righteousness of God is revealed." Now, as we've studied together, we've seen that the Bible divides itself out. The Apostle Paul lays out the Word of God. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." If you're going to understand God's Word, if you're going to get the profit out of the Word of God that God's put in it for you, you have to come to the Word of God, God's way. That is, you have to be willing to rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, there are a lot of people that say, "Well, you know, we rightly divide it and we do this." And the issue isn't what I say or you say or how we do it. The issue is, how did Paul do it? How did God and Paul tell us to handle His Word? Well, rightly dividing the Word of truth is laid out for you by Paul, by God Himself through Paul, in Ephesians chapter number 2, where He divides God's dealings with man into three time parts. First, there's what He calls time past, and then there's what He calls but now. Now, that's where we are in verse 21 of Romans chapter 3. And then He talks about the ages to come, and that's the future out there. Now, that's not real hard and real difficult. That's past, present, and future. But now, He says, the righteousness of God without the law. In time past back here, the means whereby God revealed His righteousness to people was the law. But now, the means of His revealing His righteousness is by grace. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, there is a new way that God's righteousness is being revealed in here that's different from the way it was revealed in time past. Now, that's important to understand that because that's the first thing Paul deals with when he begins to talk about the righteousness of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, not the way it used to be under the law program given to the nation Israel, but now a new way for his righteousness to be made manifest, even the righteousness of God. And that's what we need. We need God's righteousness, not our own righteousness, not the righteousness of someone else that's like us, but we need God's righteousness, even the righteousness of God. That's what's being made manifest today. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's the righteousness that comes through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His righteousness. The Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The great exchange of the universe is when He took my sin and my death and my guilt and my condemnation in order to give me His life and His righteousness and His acceptance before God, His position of total acceptance and acceptability before God, holy, righteous, acceptable before God. The exchange, He takes my sin, I take His righteousness. That's a wonderful thing. He takes my death, I get His life. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. And that's a tremendously important issue here. God's grace program eliminates every distinction between men. There's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Grace eliminates every distinction between men except one. And that one issue is that of believing. The righteousness of God that is provided through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ is unto all men. It's unto everybody. It extends out to every person, every man, every woman, every boy and girl, regardless of national status, no matter what their financial condition, no matter what their moral condition, no matter what their education status, no matter what your condition today, the grace of God is for you. God's unmerited favor, His delight, the gift that He desires to give, it's for all men. It's unto all, and it's upon all them that believe. Grace eliminates all the distinctions between men. In time past, there are tremendous distinctions back here between mankind. God Almighty Himself had built a middle wall of partition between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. God Himself had a special nation, a special group of people that was His people. He had a special religion back here. And these things were very special, ordinances and status that you had to attain to. In grace over here, all of those special things back there, that this division that was there has been eliminated. And now there's one level over here. Now there's no difference. Now it's unto all. No separation, no distinction. And it's upon all them that believe. The only qualifier, the only exception between men, the only distinction between men is that of believing. God Almighty doesn't look down at humanity today and say, there's a Baptist, and there's a Methodist, and there's a Presbyterian, and there's a Catholic, and there's a Buddhist, and there's a Muslim, and there's Assembly of God. He doesn't look down and see people like that. He doesn't say, there's a humanist, and there's an atheist, and there's a Republican, and there's a Democrat, and all that. God just looks down and He says, there's mankind. There's mankind, and there's someone who's believing in My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and resting in Him. They're Mine. There's someone that's not believing in My Son, and they're not Mine. It's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe. Now, when He says it's unto all, that means it's unlimited in its provision. It's unqualified in its provision. That is the now time revelation that we learn and that is communicated to us by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven through the ministry committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul's ministry in your Bible, and without the Apostle Paul in your Bible, and without the information given to you in Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon in your Bible, you'll never come to the conclusion that the redemption that is in Christ Jesus is unto all men. It's an unqualified, unrestricted kind of redemption, because in time past, the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ was a limited issue, limited to people who were on the proper side, the right side of the middle wall of partition. Come back with me to Matthew chapter number 20. Many times, theologians and churchmen and church tradition and church history have sought to limit the availability of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Take the cross work of Christ and limit it to a certain group of people that no one but them have access to the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And the problem with that is that that was the way it was in time past, but now the righteousness of God has been made available unto all. It's for everybody now. In other words, if you live in time past back there, and you quote, you're taking verses and you're trying to get your doctrine out of the book of Matthew to John back here, or in the early Acts period back here, if that's where you're going to go to get your doctrine, you are going to have a limited redemption to offer people, a redemption that is limited to a select group of people back here. Excuse me. And you need to understand that. That's why we tell you, and we say to you, that it's important to understand where the passages in the Word of God fits, that you rightly divide it, lest you come to the conclusion that the redemption that is in Christ Jesus is not available to all men today. For example, Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples about service and about being a servant. And He says in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom. But He doesn't stop there. Not just to give His life a ransom, but to give His life a ransom for many. Now, you know, there's a difference between saying for many and saying for everybody. There is a difference between it being a ransom for many and a ransom that is unto all. Come with me to Matthew 26. Theologians, recognizing the difference in that, seize upon a passage like that and try therefore to limit the redemption and the atonement that is in Christ Jesus to a select group of people who are identified in time past as the elect, God's elect chosen nation back here. Matthew 26, verse number 28, speaking about what we call the Lord's Supper, when Christ instituted the memorial. He says in Matthew 26, verse 27, He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. It's shed for many. He gave His life a ransom for many. You say, well, preacher, who are the many? Well, come back with me to Isaiah 53 and see who they are. Now, I understand that you can watch a television, you can watch a lot of television programs on the TV, and you can watch a lot of television programs on the religious broadcasting channels and all kind of Bible study and teaching programs and never hear a program like this. You know, most programs you watch, you know, they're talking about how to get along with your kids or how to, you know, a guy wrote a book one time called How to Be Happy Though Married. That's one of my favorite titles. Titles are what sell books today. And one of my favorite titles is How to Be Happy Though Married, like it's an odd situation if you're happy when you're married. Well, I want you to understand, if you know anything about what marriage is in the Word of God, you're going to be supremely happy. Marriage is designed in the Word of God to be the halls of the highest human happiness, and it shouldn't be an odd thing. But, you know, most things today are focused on how to be happy though married, how to get your kids to do what you want them to do, and how to get along in the world, how to invest your money and all that stuff so that you can retire. And that's what takes up most of the time in Christian media and broadcasting today. And I know this program's different than that. It's that way by design. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered God's Word's the issue. You make God's Word the issue, and the rest of the things will take care of themselves, because you'll have Christ living His life through you by your faith in His Word, by your understanding of His Word, and His Word will give you the capacity to handle these other things. All of the discussion, all the marriage counseling, all of the family counseling, all of the financial counseling being done in Christendom today, you look around you. How much good's it done? Well, you look around you at the heartache and the confusion. I pastor a church. Constantly, people are coming into my church, visiting our assembly. They'll hear our television program. They'll hear our radio program. They'll come visit. Our folks will be out witnessing. Bring them into the assembly. We constantly have people coming in with shattered hearts, broken dreams, lives in a shambles. And you say, well, what have you been doing? And they've gone to this church, that church, the next church. They've got all kind of things going around in their eye and no stability. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And you see, truth is the issue. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What you need to do is learn to get in the Word of God and study the Word of God and get the information God's put in His Word out of His Word and store it up in your soul. This is a Bible study broadcast. And I understand when we study the Bible, sometimes people go, oh, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's the most practical thing you'll ever do in your life, and the things I'm showing you right here can be liberating for you. You know how I know that? Because they are for me. And you're not any better than I am. That's a fact. Now, who is it that in time past, when He says He'll give His life a ransom for many, who is it that He gave His life for? Isaiah 53, verse number 4. You know the passage probably as good as I do. If you don't, listen. If you do, well, read along with me. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one into his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And people say, yes, there it is. All we like sheep have gone astray. He's led on Him the iniquity of us all. That's it. He died for everybody. But the problem with that is that in what the passage says. The all there is limited in verse number 8. Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. Well, tell me something. If back here He's stricken for the transgressions of Israel's of Isaiah's people, who were Isaiah's people? They were the nation Israel. You know, when you go back in time past back there, you had to be on the right side of that middle wall of partition. You had to be up here a part of the covenants that God had, and promises God had made to Abraham and Abraham's seed in order to get the benefits and the blessings that God had for His people, because those were His people and the folks down here were cut off. They were aliens. They weren't His people. Let me show you. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. You could flat be a part of a group of people back there who were cut off. John chapter number 10, verse number 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10, 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's very clear. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. There's a group of people that are not of my sheep. Well, Jesus Christ says, I lay down my life for my sheep. You're not my sheep. What does that mean? That means He didn't lay His life down for them. He laid His life down for these people and not for these people. You know who the sheep are? Go back with me to Psalms. Psalm 80. Psalm 80. Folks, you better learn how to rightly divide this book. And if you don't, you'll never find the Word of God to be anything but absolute confusion to you. You'll have to forsake the Word of God for religious tradition, for human viewpoint, for what theologian so-and-so says and what doctor so-and-so says and what commentator so-and-so says, And you'll never be able to take God's word like your heart tells you, you know you ought to, and just believe what it says on the page, the way it says it, where it says it. That's how important rightly dividing the word of truth is. Psalm chapter 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, 13. So we are thy people and the sheep of thy pasture. Well, who's talking? That's Israel talking. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. You know who the sheep are? They're the sheep of the shepherd. He's the shepherd of Israel. The sheep are Israel. You know when he says, going to lay down my life for my sheep, he's talking about Israel back here. You know what Jesus Christ said? He came, he said, I'm not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So there's a time back there when the ministry is limited to the nation Israel. Now come with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. The point that Paul's making here in Romans chapter 3 is that that time back here when things were limited to Israel, but now things have changed. There's a tremendous change in the program of God between what was taught back in time past in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the ministry that Jesus Christ has for today in Romans to Philemon. And one of the changes is the extent of the efficacy and the extent of the availability of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, if you go back here to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get your doctrine, you and I won't be able to find it back there because it's not sent to us. It's just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is unto all. How did he get unto all? How did he change it from the limited to the unqualified and unlimited back here? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Speaking about God our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 4, God our Savior who will have all men to be saved. Isn't that good? Who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for what? For all. To be testified in due time. Whereunto I, Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher and a teacher and an apostle of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You see, Paul was appointed a preacher and a teacher and an apostle of the Gentiles in order to testify to the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom, not simply for the many, but for everybody, for all. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy. When Paul says it's upon all that believe, he's talking about there's an unqualified, there's this unqualified availability. It's unto all. But then he says, it's upon. See, it's available for everybody in the now time revelation, but it's only applicable, it's only upon those that believe. There's an unqualified, unlimited availability, but there is a qualification to the application. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Jesus Christ died for every man and has provided redemption for every man. That's the reason the Word of God can say, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Come and partake of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He's the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. It's available for all men. Potentially, the availability is there, but functionally, experientially, he's the Savior of those that believe. You see, my friend, the response that grace requires is the response of faith. And if you come back with me to Romans chapter 4, you'll see that grace requires you to respond in only one way. And that's by faith. Grace requires that you respond. When someone offers you a gift, there is the necessity of your acceptance of the gift. But the only response grace will accept from you is faith. No effort, no works, just simply faith. Resting by faith in what God says. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Faith establishes grace as the source, because faith, resting in what God's done for you, is the only thing you can do without doing anything. Because faith is trusting what someone else did for you and not what you've done for yourself. It's not the quality of your faith. It's not how much you believe, but it's the object in which your faith rests. And you see, Paul's is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Here is the sovereign, free will of Almighty God expressed for you in the pages of His Word. Have you ever heard somebody talk about the conflict between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man, how all that stuff works out? And it's a antinomy that's hard. Listen, the sovereign, free will of God says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's unto all. It's for you. And it's upon all that believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, God saves you that instant because you've trusted Him. It's the object of your faith that counts. And God's Word offers you eternal redemption, total, complete forgiveness, and life everlasting in His Son today because of what He did for you at Calvary. If you'll trust Him and Him alone, God will save you that instant. And when you do trust Him, He does save you. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. I want you to understand that. We've got a free cassette tape we'd like to give you. We'd like to help you to understand God's Word by putting that into your hands. Dan will come and give you the address for it. Till next time, Maranatha.
And the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Response Grace Accepts. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 223. That's tape offer number 223. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.